Good morning, my friends. This is missionary James Robinette. I'm with Mission East Africa, Uganda. And by the gracious appointment of the Lord, it is my real joy to worship our great God with you once again this Lord's Day morning as we look to the Word of God. It is also my joy to declare the good news to those of you who are listening today who have not been saved by the great King, Jesus Christ, who have not come to submission by faith and love to come to worship and serve Him. It is my hope that you will bow the knee by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ and repenting of your sins, that you might see your need of this great King, your God, the only God, and that you might find salvation from your sins and eternal life in His name. My friends, today we're continuing in Psalm chapter 2. We'll soon read these verses. We'll finish this sermon series today. I preached last Lord's Day in the first section of Psalm 2. And I'll read in the New King James Version in just a moment. Please turn there in your Bibles as you can. Now let us pray. Father, thank you again for the great deep things of the Spirit, that your Spirit is working to reveal the glory of Christ and the magnificence of the great King, that your Spirit is working even now as we read and receive the Word of God to show us the glory of Christ, that we might see Him, the King upon His throne, the King in His beauty, the sovereign God of all things, the maker of heaven and earth, the man Jesus Christ, who is primarily the eternal Son of God, preemptorily the King of all, because He is God over all. Thank you for the psalm, this glorious Psalm 2 that we are about to read. And so once again, bless your people with teaching about Christ and reveal Christ to our hearts. Take me in my weakness, strengthen me, enable me to declare the truths of Christ in a way that blessing will come to the people. May your Spirit work through the Word of God and touch hearts and bring salvation and truth and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So my friends, our contact number is 0782-652-143, and learn more about Mission East Africa, Uganda at www.missionafricajk.net. Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, "Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us." He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then He shall speak to them in His wrath and distress them in His deep displeasure. Yet I have set my King on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, "You are my Son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and you perish in the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in Him." Amen. May the Lord add His blessings to His word. And so, my friends, we see in these verses the following points. In verses 1 through 3, as I mentioned last week, the nations rage in unbelief against God the Father and against the Son. And in verses 4 through 6, we see God's response. He laughs at this attack of His enemies, and He speaks to them in His wrath. That is, He declares the word of judgment that in his strong and powerful anger, he will distress the nations, and that he has a deep displeasure for their enmity and rejection of God and rejection of his Son. God also responds with the declaration that he will set his king, the Messiah, his very own Son, the eternal Son of God, upon the throne of Zion. He has appointed the Messiah and the ministry of the Messiah who comes to save sinful rebels. And that the Father, praise God, will also give in his great plan and decree the nations to his Son as an inheritance. Praise God. His possession will become the inheritance of the Messiah, and that he will control and rule and be given all the ends of the earth. That is the totality of the earth, all peoples he will possess, and he will judge them with strength and justice, and he will surely punish all transgression. We find in verse 7 that God declares the appointment of the Messiah in this strong, just rule that he will have. And we find in verses 10 through 12 that God calls men and their rulers to wisdom and instruction. In verses 11 and 12, to respond to the gospel with submission and faith, with reverence, godly fear, and love, in such a way that men humble themselves and submit to the rule and reality of the Lord Jesus Christ, God over all, God the Son, and come to kiss him as an expression of love, or his declaration is to them they will suffer the consequences of their spiritual death and unbelief, and that is that he will punish them with anger, never-ending wrath. But the psalm ends on the positive note that all who trust in the Messiah King are blessed by God with eternal life and joy forevermore. Last Lord's Day, we left off in verse 7, and we want to continue today in verse 8. We'll continue through verse 8 through 12 and see the truth of God in this regard. Praise the Lord. In verse 7, we saw the decree or the plan, the counsel of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, the eternal plan of God that he will bring to pass in time in human history. And that is that his very own Son, fully God, uncreated essence, substance with the Father, will become the man Jesus Christ, will become the Messiah, the anointed King. He will be covered over by the Spirit, full of the Spirit without measure, and he will come in this kingly rule to save the people of God from their sins and bring them into the kingdom of light and the kingdom of love, into the kingdom of God, where they shall be blessed forever. The Messiah will come to deliver and bring people into his kingdom of grace and salvation, where he will rule all things for their good in his infinite and eternal love. Praise God. And so it is that God, by the prophet David here, tells us of the coming of the Messiah, and we see the fulfillment of this great promise in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Christ, that is the anointed one, here prophesied about. Praise God. And I want to share with you as we begin this morning the thoughts of Henry Law regarding verse 7, that is the decree of God about his Son. And we find here that the word of God declares in verse 7, I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. Law's thoughts. O wondrous thought! Before the birth of time, eternal counsels willed the wheel of man. A covenant of grace was firmly made. We live in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Jesus, in his love for souls, in tender zeal, to fill our hearts with joy and to cause streams of peace to flow, announces the decree. Let me just add that simply that is, he declares the decree of his Father. The Father has spoken in this great council. Again, law's thoughts. By his Spirit, he unfolds it. In his Word, he writes the record. Here he displays important articles. It was decreed that honor should await him as God's co-eternal Son. For a brief period, his deity was hid. In outward show, he differed little from the sons of men. Occasionally, heavenly rays break forth, but the sun's brightness was eclipsed. Thus, as man, he suffered and died. The resurrection morn arrives. He strides forth, the mighty conqueror of death and hell. The glorious rising has a glorious voice. With trumpet tongue it tells the wondering world, Jesus is God's Son. This day removes all doubt. This day unveils him. The Father hath begotten him. Another morn will brightly shine. Greater manifestations rapidly come. Amid all glory, Jesus will be shown again as God's co-equal, co-eternal Son. Who then can shake his kingdom's firm support? And so law speaks of the fact that it is thought of the resurrection that it is a declaration of victory and a day in which Jesus is begotten from God. He's begotten from the dead, and in his glory as Messiah, he is seen in the resurrection glory. Praise God. We note that the verses refer, as Law has mentioned, to the eternal decree of God, the counsel between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, that the Son of God would be incarnated as the man, the Messiah. And in this primary sense, he is begotten of the Father, though he is uncreated God. Praise the Lord. And so, my friends, we see in verses 8 through 10 the promise in the decree of God to the Son, and that is that as he comes incarnated to live a sinless life and deliver his people through his sinlessness and in his grace and through the bringing of the gospel, the bringing of his powerful kingdom by the Spirit, that God will give him the very nations because he has become the Messiah. The nations he will inherit as a son, as the Messiah. And so God's great promise in his decree is that Jesus Christ will become the King of all nations, and that the ends of the earth will be his possession. Verse 8. We live in a time when we see the remarkable work of God in the fulfillment of this promise. The gospel, by his powerful Spirit, is coming to the nations, to the very ends of the earth. And today, there are true believers in every geographic nation of the planet. In God's perfect plan and time, the ends of the earth are becoming the possession of the Messiah. Praise God. Let me mention that as the Messiah, Jesus fulfills the offices of prophet, priest, and king for his people. The work of the Messiah, the Anointed One, is to deliver them as their prophet and as their priest and as their king. And so the eternal Son of God, who has always been sovereign of all, is incarnated and becomes the Messiah, who then, in his great work of salvation, becomes the sovereign of the kingdom of God. The man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, suffers for the sins of his people, dies upon the cross, gloriously is resurrected, and ascends to the throne of God, all in the plan of God to bring the man, Jesus Christ, to the throne of God, where he now rules as the Messiah King, the sovereign over all peoples. Amen. The reign of this great sovereign, verse 9, is a reign of justice and strength. His kingdom cannot be overcome. All resistance to his kingdom is ended. It is overcome. So that the King Jesus Christ rules with a rod of iron and breaks the rebellious nations with the rod of iron. He dashes them to pieces like a clay vessel, a potter's vessel. This speaks again of the justice and of the rule of the sovereign, the King, the Messiah. Christ the King is working in the nations, my friends, to bring justice, to restrain evil, to bless the righteous, to reward the wicked for their deeds constantly. And in this great process, 24/7, night and day, he never sleeps. He is bringing the gospel to the nations, and he is ruling all peoples in his great determinations for them. Praise the Lord. And so we are comforted by the justice of God. We are strengthened to know that the great King rules with a rod of iron. All that opposes him must fall and is falling and ultimately will fall. Praise God. So that in verses 10 through 12, we have God's application for us by the Spirit. Now, therefore, be wise, O kings, be instructed, you judges of the earth. Notice that God, in his mercy, calls out to sinners who rage against him, who disbelieve him, who are enemies of God, who fight and war against him, and he calls them to wisdom, out of darkness, out of foolishness and unbelief, through the word of God, the light of God. He calls men to wisdom. He calls the nations, the unbelieving peoples. He calls the leaders of the nations, unbelieving rulers, to wisdom and to receive teaching, instruction. Now, this is a clear gospel call. This is a declaration of mercy to men who are rebels and enemies of God. Praise the Lord. And at this point, I want to share with you the thoughts of William Law, as we see in verse 12 that God, in his call, the gospel call to the nations, the godless and the rulers of the earth, are that they come to believe in his Christ. And so Law's thoughts about verse 12, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Praise God. Law writes, mercy still warns. It points to Jesus. It exhorts to give him homage because it is his due to worship him to whom all praise belongs, to love him who has so loved us as in our stead to die. It forbids delay. Until our hearts be wholly his, we totter on destruction's brink. One spark of kindled wrath excludes forever from salvation's way. What then will be their doom against whom wrath in full fury blazes? Sweet melody concludes this hymn. It speaks of blessedness. It tells where true happiness now and forever dwells. It is in faith. Faith is the saving and the happy grace. It tightly clings to Christ. It trusts Him at all seasons for all things. Oh, may this blessed state be ours. Truly blessed it is. Praise God. And so remarkably, God calls out to people. The Son calls out. The Spirit calls out to such rebels, to such godless, hate-filled peoples and their rulers, the powerful ones of the earth, to come to Him with a promise that He will receive all who truly do come to Him in faith. Notice in verse 11, God's clear instruction that men and godless leaders serve the Lord with fear. That is, they come to believe in Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, to repent of their sins. They come with a godly reverence, and they come to receive joy with trembling. This awesome instruction and wisdom of God has entered the hearts of those who do so, and they come to understand, to know, and to believe in the depths of their being that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, that He brings us to the Father, and that as men, as creatures, we must fear this great, powerful God, the Father and the Son, who is able to cast us sinful criminals into eternal hell as a punishment and reward for our sins. We come to fear God, who is able to cast men, body and soul, into the fire of His eternal wrath. And we come to trust Him for His mercy. And so we come with joy by faith, and we come with godly fear, with reverence, and with trembling hearts. We come to worship this God that we have offended in countless ways with our sin, but whose mercy and grace has much more abundantly covered our sins, saved us from our sin, brought us to our senses, brought us to God that we now know and trust and love. Praise God. We come with worshiping hearts, and we come as God directs us to by faith love Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. He calls us in verse 12 to kiss Him, kiss the Son, as an expression of love from the heart, to love this great God and Savior. He calls us to come to love Him in light of the fact that if we fail to love Him by faith, that the very anger of the Lamb of God, the anger of the Lamb, will cause us to perish in the infinite anger, the justice of the Lamb of God, the wrath of the eternal God, the Father and the Son. Notice this: the wisdom of God, the instruction of God. Come by faith to love the Son so we do not perish under His wrath, which will and must come upon all who fail to trust and love the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I encourage you today, dear listener, from your heart, kiss the Son. That is, trust in Him, repent of all sin, surrender to your King, come and bow before Him, bend the knee, turn from your pride and unbelief, acknowledge Him and trust in Him, and begin a life of service in love by faith, and serve your King. Come as a child to kiss your Father, knowing that your Father is full of grace and mercy and calls out to you as a son to simply come and kiss Him, to love Him. Praise God. Again, we must note that the consequence of not trusting the Son, not loving Him, is that all who continue in enmity against Him, in rebellion and unbelief, in darkness and spiritual death, those who are servants of Satan will perish in the way they take. They are condemned. Their condemnation awaits them, and they will be finally condemned in the lake of fire. And this will come about when his strong wrath is kindled but a little. This speaks just a little of the infinite anger and wrath of the Son. Praise God. And so, my friends, God in his wisdom gives us instruction. God teaches us that we know just a little of the fiery wrath that is kindled, the wrath of God the Father, the wrath of God the Son, but that his wrath is extensive, it is absolute, it is eternal, it is never ending. And so we are cautioned to escape the wrath, even when it is kindled, when it is but a small fire, lest we perish under the full blaze of God's anger forever and ever. Praise God. And so let us come to kiss the Son. Let us escape the consequences of our sins in unbelief. Let us believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us become those who are, as verse 12 said, blessed, who put their trust in Him, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Let us kiss Him in submission to our great King. Let us no longer quarrel and fight and disbelieve Him. Let us come into His blessedness in the promise of life and joy and absolute salvation, into the fullness of the love of God Almighty, God the Son, and we shall be blessed indeed. And so, dear friend, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of all of your sin. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, lest His wrath is kindled but a little. Oh, Father, thank You for the glorious truth of the gospel. Blessed are You, Lord God Almighty, Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. Forever You are God. Forever, Jesus, You are the King upon the hill of Zion. Forever You reign in glory and majesty, awe and power and love. How blessed it is to know You and to be saved. We give You praise and we give You thanks. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the King, Jesus Christ, bless you in His great salvation.